section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
TNA titles have been retired, the WWE prepares for Money in the Bank, and a TNA superstar asks for his release. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Airless Kid. Ran to the news. Matt Morgan asked for his release. This is big news, Aaron.
We talked about last week TNA had some people let go. We were talking about could they be having money issues, things like that. And Matt Morgan leaving, especially asking for his release, is a huge deal. If he would have just been released, you know, that's one thing. But the fact that he basically said, look, you guys aren't doing anything with me, and so I want to go elsewhere. You know, I want to try my luck, in other places. My question to you, Andy, does he show up in the WWE? And if so, does he do it quickly?
You know, there is a possibility he could enter Money in the Bank and they could say, you're going to be our champion. That's what we think of you. Unlike TNA, who said, we think you're the face of the company, but we're not going to do anything with you. To me, that's a problem. Now, will he show up in Money in the Bank? No. But I think they will lead up to him returning. They'll have some certain vignettes like they did with RVD, because Matt Morgan at one point was a big part of the WWE. But I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, I'm sorry. He wasn't a big part, but he was he was getting there. I would not be surprised if he goes to Ring of Honor, because they need help right now with some major superstars and major talent, because they don't have it right now with everyone leaving and doing other things. You know, it's interesting that he asked for his release, which means that there was feelers put out somewhere and he heard about it and said, I'm gone. Because if I'm correct, they don't have a non-compete clause with their wrestlers.
No. And you're absolutely right. He wouldn't have just asked for it just because. He had feelers. You know, he started off at OVW, and then he had the opportunity to go to SmackDown, where he was for a couple of years. And, you know, he has the ability to possibly go back there. If he does, I could see a really great program with somebody like Kane, because they're about the same height, they're about the same size, and they could put on some really good matches together. And then you could see Matt Morgan taking on somebody like Sheamus. And Matt Morgan could come in as a heel, as a good heel, in fact. And he could have programs with some of the guys that would really help boost not only their credibility, but his too. And you could see him be the World Heavyweight Champion very easily. You know, you could see him taking on Dolph Ziggler for the World Heavyweight title. That's always a possibility. So I don't want to belabor it too much, but Matt Morgan, I hope that he does show up in WWE, because I think that that will really help out his career. And then he could go back to TNA in a couple of years. But Andy, one of the biggest pieces of news, not that Randy Orton is getting divorced, but the information that came from his divorce settlement.
This is what I love. I shouldn't say I love divorces, but one thing I will say about this is that they let in the documents, they have to disclose a lot of things. First off, you know, bank accounts, what they have, you know, all their assets. And the one thing that I thought was really interesting is that it comes out that he makes about $3.5 million a year. That's what he makes. That's not including – that's his downside guarantee. So he's going to make that much money. What about his merchandise? You never thought about that. I mean, he may make in a year's time $4 million for being a professional wrestler. Is he worth $4 million? I don't think so. But he is worth – because a lot of wrestlers don't make that much money. You would think that they would be making, you know – $600,000-$700,000 a year, but a lot of wrestlers don't make that much. There's only a handful that actually make over $500,000 a year, but by going to house shows, you get make extra money there. But I guess the big thing really is that he gets divorced and there's no like fighting over it. It's not like Cena's divorce. It's like, here's what's going on. She gets sole custody, he gets visitation, blah blah blah. She gets her 2013 Infiniti, he gets his cars.
And yeah, I know.
It's like this is kind of boring.
So yeah, it was interesting, though, to find out how much he makes, because Randy Orton is one of top five superstars in WWE right now. You know, top five active stars, you know, and I can only imagine then how much somebody like John Cena makes. I mean, the face of the company, you know, we're talking, what, $8 million a year? I would almost guess. I would say, what do you think?
I think his downside guarantee is more like $5 million. But,
you think so?
But his merchandise, I will almost guarantee he makes what Randy Orton makes in a year for his downside. But also, you got to remember, Cena doesn't take time off. He wrestles house shows. You get everyone knows that if you wrestle at a house show, you get paid extra money for doing that. You get your downside guarantee still, but you wrestling there, you get a little bit of a bonus plus your merchandise as well. When it gets sold at the house shows, when people I won't get into too big a thing, but basically, if you are shown on the house show, people are more prone to buy merchandise there if they see that wrestler, if that makes sense. But
yeah, anyways, let's move on though, Andy, to TNA retiring the TV title and finally retiring the Knockouts tag titles. What do you think?
I thought it was interesting because I guess EY finally lost his title, which when I saw that, I was just like, oh man, EY's losing a title. But realistically, they haven't defended it. And remember the TV title? Would it last 4 weeks when they defended it every week? Of course it wasn't going to last, even though it could have easily been thrown around real fast. You could have given it to Robbie E for a few weeks. Then you could have given it to, I don't know, like Suicide. Then you could have given, Manic now. You could have thrown that title around and not many people would have cared. You know, like we'll say like every third or fourth show, it was switched hands. That's fine. To me, that's a stepping stone title. But they just never defended it. D-Von came out and that was it.
And I think that's the thing that's very important for them. I actually disagree with them retiring the TV title. I think that they made a really big mistake with it in having Abyss win it. I think that was a really big mistake. I think what they should have done, just like you said, defend it every week. Even if it's not on Impact, then defend it on Explosion. That needs to be a focal point of a show at some place. Because, look, TV title, open the show. You know, if you like the X Division title that much, don't have the X Division title be your stepping stone, because that's just weird because you have a weight limit on that. So you can't have Matt Morgan win that title. He's not there, but still, you know, you can't do things like that. So either way, I'm glad that they retired the Knockouts tag TV title. Not so much. But anyway, let's talk, though, about a WWE executive has joined TNA and TNA is expecting really big things from him. They're expecting him to turn the tide. Are you expecting this to happen, or do you think it's just going to be business as usual?
It's going to be business as usual, I think. I mean, like, Big, everyone knew from Tough Enough, he was Big John, or Big, as everyone called him. Everyone knew him as that. The thing is, he did a lot of stuff behind the scenes that did help the WWE out. Now, I don't know how much he did exactly, but it's a thing where you have to wait and see. It's going to take time before you actually know, did he help TNA out? Realistically, I don't think he's going to help TNA out that much. He's going to get some promotions going with them. But realistically, when you have your number one and then you have a distant number two, it's going to be hard to get going. Realistically, there's so many other things that could happen, but I just don't think that you're going to see big things from John. I just don't think that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Andy, so TNA, we talked about last week, the late payments they're saying are a result of the parent company, and that payments they say may be as late as only 4 weeks, but even that is very, very, very light. It might be only one or two people. Was this blown out of proportion, do you think?
It was not blown out of proportion. The reason being is that when you deal with payroll stuff, it's simple. They tell you, you basically have like an account set up with them where they just take the money out. Well, if there's no money in that account, they can't process it properly. If you have a company that sends out your paychecks and they're 4 weeks behind on doing their paperwork, that's their problem and you should get rid of them right away. The famous one everyone uses is ADP, and they're cheap as all get out. Why aren't they with them? I don't know. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. There's something more behind it. And yes, TNA keeps signing all these deals, but the one thing I find interesting is that every time they sign a deal, it always gets leaked. How much are they guaranteed? And then the one thing I'm always wondering in the contract is, what if they fail? That's what I'm wondering. Do they still are they still guaranteed that money? That's I guess that's my conspiracy theory thinking. But
I don't think it's I think that we are blowing it a little bit out of proportion. It sounds like the 4 week thing may have been only a couple of people at most. And I also I do agree that, look, it's money. And at the end of the day, not paying somebody is a really big deal. It sounds to me, though, like it was something that was planned in advance, saying, hey, we're going to have to hold back on paying you until next week. You know, it sounds like it might have been something like that. I think that comparing it to ECW is a little extreme, pun not intended.
Yes.
But I think that might have been blown a little bit out of proportion. But let's move on along, though, Andy.
So we got to talk about with the WWE. They're upset with CM Punk for something he did during the Blackhawks, the night they won the Stanley Cups. I'm sorry, when they won the Stanley Cup a few weeks ago. And they were upset because there was a tweet sent out with him smiling with Jonathan Toews, you know, because, you know, holding the cup. I don't see anything wrong with that. And also they're upset because there was a dollar bet between CM Punk and John Cena. John Cena being from Boston, CM Punk being from Chicago. And they're upset about the whole situation. And they blame CM Punk for low ratings that night. Realistically, here's what happened. You have two original six teams, game six in Boston, and the Hawks just 17 seconds. That's the thing about that game. I watched that game. I didn't watch Raw. I could care less about Raw that night. 17 seconds.
Well, though,
let's
just call it like it is, though. This is blown a little bit out of proportion, just like the last story. WWE wasn't upset with him in the sense, oh, we're going to fine you, or, you know, you can't do that stuff anymore. They said, look, you know, you could have caused people to switch over, which is true. That is absolutely true. Someone may have been following him on Twitter and been like, oh, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take a look at this then. Is that going to hurt the ratings that much? No. It would be such a small amount, and that it would not, in the grand scheme of things, you can just equate that to an error in recording the results. And so I believe that this is something that blown out of proportion. CM Punk is not in the doghouse. Do not expect anything bad to happen to him for that.
Here's what I think really happened. I think someone said, I wonder if he's the one to blame for it. And then someone's like, oh my gosh, they're blaming him for this, the ratings. That's what realistically happened.
This is a non, let's just be honest, that's a non-story. But
exactly.
The next one, though, is not, Andy. Pyrotechnics may have caused a woman to die because it may have caused her asthma to overreact, and it may have caused her to hyperventilate and eventually die. And this happened a few years back.
Okay. You go to a wrestling show, the WWE, and you know there's pyro. That's it. This is a non-story as well. How can you blame that for someone to die because of an asthma attack? It was because they had no idea pyro was going to happen. This is just reminds me of the hot coffee from McDonald's. That's all this reminds me of. Someone's looking to get a payday. And some lawyer's saying, keep doing this. That's what I think's going on here.
Although, in all fairness, this woman actually died, which sucks. The downside is, just like with everything, they're always looking for someone to blame. In this case, you know, they're blaming the WWE for having the pyrotechnics. And I feel bad for this woman's family, but, you know, if you know you have a problem, you don't put yourself in that situation. Because, you know, if you have the chance of being hurt or death, you don't want to do that. So, Andy, I want to move on to WWE programming this week. So on Raw and on SmackDown, a lot of focus on Money in the Bank, and we had a lot of matches between superstars. So I want to talk, though, about Raw in particular, because there were huge matches. We did have Kane and Christian. That was kind of a quick match. Christian lost, which I think we're all expecting. But to open the show, we had Daniel Bryan taking on Sheamus, and Daniel Bryan won.
Here's my problem with this match. This is a pay-per-view match. Why have them wrestle? If they did it right, they would have had a tag match with all three competitors, because then it doesn't matter who wins or loses. The fact that they actually had singles matches kind of makes me upset about it, because of course Daniel Bryan's going to put on a show stealer, and then Sheamus, for some reason, I don't know what it is with Sheamus, but he's always put on great matches. It doesn't matter who he's with. Even with Mark Henry, he put on decent matches. That's what I don't understand why they did it this way. They should have just had tag matches and then had guys like JTG, who haven't worked in a while, actually come in and work.
He's still employed by the WWE.
Yes, he is.
But Andy, so it sounds to me like you're complaining to see good wrestling.
Oh, no, dude, the wrestling was great. That's the one thing. The wrestling's great. But
is it smart for Daniel Bryan to go over two big competitors in the span of 3 weeks? I mean, he went over Sheamus this week. He went over Orton a couple weeks back. Is that a smart thing to do?
This to me is shades that he's going to win. That's what I think it is. Or whoever the next competitor is going to be, that they're going to win. That's what I think is going to happen. No matter how I look at it, it's just like Daniel Bryan has to be the one that wins because he's beat Orton, you know, a couple of times technically. And now he's beaten Sheamus. Interesting.
So I want to just talk a little bit about Daniel Bryan over Sheamus. First things first, Sheamus has won way too many matches over the past 6 months. Big profile matches, and it seems that they haven't had him put anybody over. Daniel Bryan, most recently, has been winning a lot of matches, and they're trying to do it to get him over. And so Daniel Bryan beats Sheamus. My only problem with that is I feel with Randy Orton, with that little story arc they had, you know, he lost one match, and then it was, I think, double DQ, no count out, or count out, and then he finally beat Orton, and that was a pretty big deal. This, it was just a one-off. And I think what I would have rather seen is have these two wrestle on main event, which I know that sounds weird because that's a main event on many other shows, but having them wrestle there and have that go to a count out or disqualification, whatever it would be, or even have Sheamus win, you know, and then have him win here, I think would have been a bigger deal. I think that would have been a smarter move for them, but, you know, that's also kind of criticizing where you don't have to.
I got an interesting thing. What if they start adding time limits? That's something they haven't done in a while. They haven't said with the 30-minute time limit, and they actually go to 30 minutes to a draw.
You know, with the TV title back in WCW was 10 minutes. And there were a lot of times to help build a feud that it would go to the 10-minute mark. So I agree. But Andy, I want to move on, though, to the other Money in the Bank match, Punk and Orton. Punk goes over cleanly. Orton's put over two smaller guys now. Is Orton in the doghouse? Are they going to do something with Orton? What's the deal there?
I think it's because they heard the divorce was going good. So they're like, you know what? We're going to have you lose some matches and see what your attitude's going to be like. And maybe that's something they could all of a sudden make him turn heel at Money in the Bank. Because if he turns heel, cashes in the Money in the Bank that night, and he could take it from Cena if he wanted to, which to me would be an interesting play. But right now, the WWE has been throwing swerves at us and putting on great matches. I don't know what's going to happen here. But yeah, CM Punk, his match versus Orton, great match. I only hit fast forward to the commercials. Through the commercials, that was it. Nothing else. Yeah. So Raw took me a while this week to watch, which I was actually happy about. It's been, actually the last few have been. I've been really happy. This match, wow.
So Andy, Jericho and Curtis Axel. Jericho actually beats them with a distraction. Curtis Axel gets his first loss on Raw. Smart thing to have him lose to Jericho?
I think it is because Jericho has been losing to everyone so far and no one cares. But this was actually a decent match. And one thing I want to point out, Jericho did not win with the Codebreaker. I don't remember what the move is, but Shane Helms used to use it as the Hurricane because he only hit him with one knee and not both. I'm just saying.
Anyway, so Andy, Vicky Guerrero has been fired.
No one cares.
All right, but Brad Maddox has taken over.
Care about that. And here's why. If you watch NXT on Hulu, he is the worst commentator known to man. Hands down, one of the worst. And now he's going to be your GM. At what point do you just say, Triple H, this project sucks. Get rid of him. And that's what I'm kind of getting at with him right now. I can care less what happens with him. But
Two things.
Okay.
His facial expressions, you know, the psychology, was really good, I thought. I thought it was done very well. He had that dumbfounded look on his face like, me?
Yeah, but he always looks that way.
He looks dumb, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I like that. But the second thing, when he was the ref and then he came out and he was telling a story, his delivery was so bad. I was cringing. I felt embarrassed for him. I was embarrassed myself. I was at home being embarrassed, all right? I went and I lowered the shades. I couldn't look outside because I was embarrassed listening to him talk. And I worry that he's going to come out and he's going to have promos in the ring that people are going to be like, oh, click, changing the channel. Backstage, he could do okay because they can edit that and, you know, it doesn't have to be live. But I think anything in the ring, I don't think it's going to be good. I really don't.
I completely agree. And so my favorite part of Raw this week, the Wyatt's debut. And I thought it was really interesting, the whole package they had with the lantern. He lights it. He says, we're here. Blows it out. Comes out. It's all dark. And this is right after the Kane and Christian match. And the Wyatt brothers beat up Kane and really beat the crap out of him. And do a couple moves, which I was surprised about. They put his head on the, the steps. And then they basically kind of took the steps and hit him right in the head, or hit him in the face with it, if you want to say that.
Which you did see how they used it, right?
Okay, dude, I know how it's used. It didn't hurt him at all. But the idea was Daniel Bryan got fired for choking a guy. So why aren't they getting fired for that? And that was a planned spot.
That was planned.
A planned spot, but Daniel Bryan gets fired for choking a guy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hey, why are you going to be bringing up old stuff?
Exactly. Right? But yeah, so I was really happy with this debut.
Here's the thing. Shield comes out. They attack people, right? And Nexus comes out. They attack people. Now the Wyatts come out. They attack people. Is it boring? Because to me, their debut, the entrance, don't get me wrong, it was cool. But they attack Kane. Who cares? Like, who cares? I might be in the minority, and that's fine. I am not intrigued by these people at all. They come out and attack Kane, but it doesn't matter. It's like, why did that do anything? Have them come out and attack Justin Gabriel and say, we're going to work our way up, you know? Like, do that at least. JTG could be collateral damage, okay? He could be. That's what they should have done. But why have them attack Kane? The Shield just got done attacking Kane, you know? Are Aces and Eights going to invade next? That's the thing I don't like.
Here's the rumor right now, and this could happen. They were talking about that they're going to attack Kane one more time because he did leave on a stretcher from the live crowd reports. The rumor is that he's going to bring someone back. The Brothers of Destruction bring back Taker, so him and Taker will tag against the Wyatt Brothers. And then they put over the Wyatt brothers, which to me is big. But the other thing I thought was interesting is that they didn't even edit this out later on, was everyone was chanting Husky Harris and clapping,
yes,
which I thought was hilarious. But I think the live crowd was more amazed by it, but I wish they would have debuted somewhere else. Not East Coast. You had to do it, you know, not even Midwest, but you had to do it in a weird area like Texas or something like that. Actually, Texas is bad, but like New Orleans or something like that. You should have had it in an area where the crowd aren't smarks. And I think that was the only thing they failed upon, but it was actually, I was really intrigued by it. So anyways, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the market, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at web hosting costs. Also, when you click on the Section 86 Off the Mark page, you're going to see a banner for WWE Shop. Just listen, read what it says up there. It could be deals, something as 5% off, $10 off, $70 or more, or $30 off a $100 order. So just make sure you check that out. Use WWE Save 10, 5, or 30, whatever it is, and you're going to save some money at WWEShop.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So we had the Joker's Wild Tag Matches, teaming up with unlikely competitors. Like who, Aaron?
So, they've done this before. They actually have a pay-per-view coming up that's going to be very similar concept. And so we had things like Kaz teamed up with somebody who took on Christopher Daniels. So Kaz was taking on Daniels, which, whoa, you wouldn't expect something like that to happen. Or we had AJ Styles and Samoa Joe teaming up. And of course, those two, oh, they just had a match and they didn't like each other. So, you know, they had things like that, a couple other ones, nothing really big to talk about. Do you like the idea of these Joker Wild tag matches?
I don't like the concept. I mean, they used to do this back in the day, if I'm correct, in one of the Texas territories, and it worked then, but it was also, they set up storylines to comply with this, where they, you know, the two guys who hate each other had to face these two guys who also hate each other, but they also wanted to win because they had a shot at like a number one contender match. That's why they wrestled this way. I thought they just threw this together. To me, it seems like a lot of this stuff on TNA now, it's just, oh crap, we're going to be taping live here in a moment. What are we going to do? Let's just do this. I think that's what happens here.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. But the winning teams will do a gauntlet match. And, you know, it's one of those things where I forgot what it was. I think it was 35 points they said the winner gets. So they're doing the Bound for Glory thing, but it's going to help elevate somebody to the next level. But the other big piece that happened this week and last was the Main Event Mafia. They added a couple new members. We saw Magnus. He joined the ranks. And they also added Rampage Jackson.
Don't care. The only reason they added him is because he was in Vegas. They're like, hey, who else should we add? I don't know. What's Virgil doing? You mean Vincent? Eh, it doesn't matter. Who cares about Rampage Jackson? He's not going to come out every week. There's no way they can afford him. And I like Magnus. Don't get me wrong. I do like Magnus joining. For some reason, that seemed right to me. But Rampage Jackson, you're just like, huh? And realistically, this is the number they should stay at. That's it. Don't add anyone else. You stay with 5. To me, that's a good number. You don't want to end up like the NWO where you have 14 members and two of them are just there so they get their butts kicked every week.
Well, and I actually even think 5 is, that's pushing it. I think that 4 is probably the best route to go because you can have fun matches with them. You can have, you know, 3-on-3s. You can have, you know, 4-on-4 matches, obviously multiple tag teams. I like those. I think I agree with you with when NWO got out of control, it just got stupid. And groups like the Four Horsemen are very successful. Evolution was successful. You know, I think that's kind of the best route to go. But, you know, TNA, obviously they, you know, this week, last week, previous weeks, they are very focused on the Bound for Glory series. And, you know, there's not a whole lot else really to talk about.
Well, they had a pay-per-view on Friday, if you remember, for like $15 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And Hardcore Justice 2. And let's move on to our wiki. Oh, I'm just kidding. But yeah,
I was going to say, I did watch some of it. But the biggest problem I had was how much like filler that they put in there. This is a pre-taped show and there was so much filler and I was just bored by some of it. I was watching and I was like, you know, I could if I didn't pay for this, I would be out doing something completely different right now. And so I don't know. I didn't like that. Although, Andy, you know what? We should just talk about real quick next week. We get to see Chris Sabin taking on Bully Ray. Give me a percentage Chris Sabin's chances to win the title.
1%.
You're only giving him 1%?
I'm giving him 1% because he is not going to win the title. Bully Ray will put him over, and then all of a sudden, he'll throw him through a table or something like that, or he'll get DQ'd. Some way, somehow, Bully Ray will retain the title. In fact, I would be surprised if he gets DQ'd on purpose early in the match. Just be like, well, I get to keep my title, walk away.
I give him a 35% chance of winning because I was thinking about this. Now, Chris Sabin will not be the champion come Bound for Glory. He will not be the champion. But I was just thinking about it. And with the Vince Russo-like writing they've been doing recently, I could see Chris Sabin potentially winning the title and then losing it back to Bully Ray that night. I mean, that's how bad the writing has been recently. I could see them saying, no, Bully Ray will be the champion, but let's just give it to Chris. We'll throw things out of whack. We'll give it to him, and then he's going to lose it, you know, the next that night or a week later.
Like the X title? Like the X division title?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point. So weekly topic, though, Andy, you know, let's just kind of fly through this. Money in the Bank is this weekend. Big matches. Jericho versus Ryback. Who do you got?
Ryback.
I agree. And I think that it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yep.
Ryback has been losing. Jericho is going to put him over.
Yep. And then Ziggler versus Del Rio. Who's going to win?
I actually think Ziggler. I think he has a chance of recapturing it.
I actually agree with you for some reason, even though I don't think it's good planning. And then Cena versus Henry. Cena.
Well, Andy, we forgot about the biggest match of the night, which is Curtis Axel versus The Miz.
Axel.
And Cena. Oh. Cena over Henry.
And don't forget about the Divas title. AJ wins.
I'm sorry. We're talking about real
things. Okay, gotcha.
Andy, let's talk about the SmackDown Money in the Bank. We had talked about this in the past. I want to see, though, if your opinion has changed, and who is the man you think is going to capture that briefcase?
Wade Barrett.
Interesting. Is it because he's been downplayed? They haven't really been talking about him, so he's kind of
Here's why.
Wild?
I can explain each wrestler why. Fandango? No. There's no reason for him to have it. Jack Swagger. You went that route, got the DWI? No. Cesaro?
Yeah, and I think those two I definitely agree with you on.
Cesaro? He's not there yet. In like a year, I could see it, but not right now. Dean Ambrose. I could see it, but then it's like you don't want to push him too fast. He already has the U.S. title. That's just one of those weird things.
I don't think he has a chance in hell.
Okay, Cody Rhodes. He's just there. He's going to take a major bump. Damian Sandow, at first, I thought could win it, but then I started thinking about more and more. They've changed his character a little bit. Like, he can't do the singing or the cartwheels because they don't want him to be like Lanny Poffo. So to me, that kind of was like, okay, so what else are they going to change his character on? I see him in there somehow losing. I think him and Cody will start have a feud that causes them to lose. So then when it came down to it, I was like, Wade Barrett's the only one who I could logically see win. Because it was down to between him and Swagger and Cesaro, that in that order. Even though I thought Ambrose would win it, I think he has something else planned with the Shield, unless they're planning on breaking the Shield up. So my pick, and I'm going to lock it in, and I'm going to do one better. I'm going to lock it in, and I'm going to say that Wade Barrett is your new World Heavyweight Champion that night.
I believe that Damian Sandow is the person who will win the briefcase, because they give him so much mic time, and there's nothing else that makes people hate a heel more than giving them mic time and giving them something that they can wave in the fans' faces. And Ziggler, they did that to him, and it was really great. And I think Sandow, they're going to do, and it'll be even better.
You know, it'd be funny if Sandow actually, if they bring a wrestler in just to carry the briefcase for Sandow, that would be funny. And that's what they should do, but that's not what they'll do.
So, Andy, the Money in the Bank All-Stars match.
Yes.
So we know who is in there. And realistically, I think you can make a case for everybody. I think except for Christian, I think that he, no chance. Kane, which they're saying that he may not even be in the match. I don't think Kane would win it.
We're Shelton Benjamin.
I could see Punk, Brian, Orton, and I could even potentially see RVD.
Okay. Here's how I can see RVD doing it. If they wanted him to be a heel. Because potentially he could win the Money in the Bank, cash it in that night as a heel to beat John Cena.
Yeah, you happen. Do realize where this is at, right?
It's in Philly.
Yeah. You of think course. That the crowd is going to boo RVD?
But that's the thing, dude. He's such a face that he could turn around and basically bash the fans and say, I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
And what do you think the crowd is going to do?
They're going to riot if he doesn't win.
Let me ask you this much. If Punk came back last pay-per-view and said, screw Chicago, do you think that they would not cheer for him?
They would cheer, and then you'd have some boos. But there'd be more
people. No, they would just cheer. Plain and simple. They are going to cheer for Punk.
Okay.
Because he is such a Chicago guy. Even as a heel, they were cheering for him. And I think same thing here. RVD, so yeah. But I got to ask you, who is going to win the Money in the Bank?
Okay, here, I mean, you're right. You can make a play for everyone except Christian and Kane, potentially. When I look at this roster, I just keep thinking, I'm like, CM Punk doesn't need it. Randy Orton really doesn't need it either. Sheamus doesn't need it. So then you look at it, what's left? You have Brian and you have RVD. So who would I pick? I would pick Daniel Bryan to do it. Except I would have him do it the classy way, the RVD way. And the John Cena way, where you schedule a match.
Well, and we'll talk about that if it happens. I agree with you. And, it, you know, people will say, oh, you're Mark for Brian. And that's not the case. But logically speaking, Brian is the one who has the most to gain from winning. And so I think that Brian is the correct choice. And let's be honest here. Look, SummerSlam is out in California, as it has been the past few years. It's out in L.A. And I just don't see RVD winning and then having that, you know, hey, I'm going to cash it in at SummerSlam. I just don't see it, because RVD, when he cashed it in a month in advance, he said, we're doing it in Philly, and that's where I'm going to win my title. And so he did. And the crowd was 100% behind RVD. You go out to L.A., it's not going to be that case. Daniel Bryan, possibly. Mm-hmm. You could get some splits there. But I just think that Daniel Bryan will be the person who wins.
Yep. And like I said, we can go on each person and explain how you could do it with every one of these participants. But when it all comes down to it, the logical choice is the Bryan Danielson. So anyway, so let's move on. I'm sorry. And so that's all it. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.